All right, we've hit the 7 o'clock hour of the Game Blitz. We got 5 more hours to go. Many thanks to Chuck Gentry, head coach at Lebanon, Fred Burnett, head coach at McGavick, and Jeff Brothers, head football coach at Nashville Christian, for joining us. We got Coach Eddie Woods from Cane Ridge at 7:15, Coach Justin Geisinger from Frank Road Academy at 7:45, Ingle Martin at 8:15. But before we get to tonight's slate, and Elijah's got a couple games that are big on the schedule, we'll get to him. We had some games that were played last night, Kenny. Here's some games last night. Cane Ridge beat Overton 21-12. Clarksville to West Creek 30-14. Clarksville Northeast beat Father Ryan 62-55. CPA over Oakland 35-14. East Nashville 43, Maplewood 8. FRA 55, Stratford 18. Hillwood 50, Glencliff 9. Lebanon 27, Mount Juliet 6. McGavick 48. Antioch 20, Nashville Christian 49. Clarksville Northwest 19. Pearl Cone 35. Marshall County 23. Rossview 22. Kenwood 14, Stewart County 41, Houston County 24, and Tullahoma 31, Montgomery Central 0. Yeah, so there were some games played last night. A lot of teams are off for fall break, so that's a catch up right there from games for last night. We'll run down some of the schedule for tonight later on, but now to bring Elijah Campbell back in and kind of pick his brain on 4 or 5 games tonight that are really standing out to him tonight. Elijah, the floor is yours.
Oh, man, Joe, there's the obvious one, right? There's the two teams that are 7-0 that are fighting for that extra level to be in the Elijah Campbell Undefeated Club, an exclusive, members-only, invite-only club. Once you get to the ninth floor, you eventually get a jacket, and these teams want to get closer to that jacket. And they also want a region championship. This game is what I refer to as a de facto region championship game. The cream of the crop of their region. The winner, I would have a hard time seeing not winning this region tonight. But that's not the only one we have, Joe. There are a couple of other interesting ones. Centennial and Ravenwood definitely is one with some serious region implications. Centennial 6-1 on the season, 2-1 in region. Ravenwood 5-2, but they're 3-0 in the region, Joe.
Right, that's crazy.
Possession of first place. Yeah, and that's a team that a victim of a really, really tough schedule, and they've had to rebound from some really tough losses, but they've taken care of business in that region, in Region 7, 6A. They're currently sitting in first. You have a nice three-way tie of 2-1 for second between Brentwood High School, Centennial, and Independence. Brentwood High School, I expect them to win their game. I think they play Franklin tonight. But you never know. Franklin's been able – they could play spoiler to somebody this year. A really solid team, but Centennial and Ravenwood's a big one tonight. Centennial is able to pull off the upset. Then they'll see themselves – at 3-1 in the region, possibly tied for first, and they have that tiebreaker over Ravenwood as well. That's a really big game. Ensworth and MBA, another massive game that I've been looking at, Joe. And you look at that, it's an out-of-region game, technically, for MBA. But MBA in the Undefeated Club, they're 7-0. Ensworth is 6-1. Their only blemish is to a Baylor team that is just so happens to be the only other undefeated team in that classification. So Ensworth's pretty good too. They're reeling off, I think, 3 or 4 wins in a row. That's a really big game tonight. But the Elijah Campbell special, Joe, you're gonna get a kick out of this.
I can't get it.
And my man Rusty Ellis is gonna be live on the scene tonight between Cumberland County at Livingston. Now, some people might ask, Elijah, I know you're from the Upper Cumberland. You have a soft spot for that region, but these teams haven't been great all year long. Why choose this game? Well, one, they're both 0-7. This is the best chance either team has at clinching a win this season. It's almost like the last chance bowl here to be able to win. And if Livingston is able to be the team that does it, they will snap a 19-game losing streak. This is a school that has a pretty solid history of football. They won a state championship back as recently as 2005. I mean, Livingston's not accustomed to losing 20 in a row at that school. Both of these teams are going to be hungry for that one win they could possibly get this season. It's good. They're two very evenly matched teams, to say the least. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. That is the Elijah Campbell special, specifically, is this Livingston and Cumberland County game. And don't think won't be going without updates, man. Rusty Ellis will be feeding me information all night. He'll join us after the game to discuss the battle of the winless to try to get that one win. And sometimes it's the highlight of your season if you're able to get that win. So that's another fun one that I kind of have circled on the football calendar here, Joe.
I love it. You know, week one, you know, it's hard to believe this is week eight of the high school football season. We've been doing this since back on August 19th. And we went down all these things, like, you know, halfway through the season, who's going to stand out? And I'll be honest, this shows we're not experts, but I didn't think, and God, Coach Kreisky, forgive me at Centennial for saying this, but I never thought we'd be sitting here talking in week eight, here's 11 weeks with the open week, about how vital this Ravenwood Centennial game is tonight. It's at Centennial. How important this game is to Classic A Region 7. I did not see this happening.
Oh, I didn't at all. I realize these are really, really good teams. Summit dominated the region last year. They lost a ton, so it was kind of up for grabs, right? I mean, they fall back. They have a down year. Franklin's had a little bit of a down year the last couple of years. They were only 1-9 last year, 0-7 this year, but the grouping of Independent, Centennial, Brentwood High School, and Ravenwood are so evenly matched, Joe, that this is making it for a really fun just last few weeks of the high school football season, because every game that these teams play is going to be significant. And then, of course, could you imagine being a team like Independence, a really good team, really, really solid bunch. You're 2-1 in a highly competitive region that is incredibly top heavy, and you are fighting just to keep a playoff spot here. Like it's pretty remarkable. And unfortunate if you're a team like Independence to have to play on the road against a region winner in the first round of the playoffs, right, only because you just have to play Centennial, Brentwood, and Ravenwood every year.
Hey, we got an early score for you. Macon County is struck first. It leads Stowe Memorial 7-0. Surprised at that?
Ooh, a little bit. Now this is big for Stowe, for Macon County. Obviously Macon County was undefeated going into last week. They had a humbling loss. I think that's probably the best way to put it. A humbling experience losing to Upperman at home 28-14 last week. They were in the undefeated club. They got ejected from the undefeated club. But that is not the end of their season. Because Upperman lost to Stone earlier in the season, this could be the perfect get-right game for Macon County. Obviously, it's not going to get any easier because Upperman or Stone is a really good team. Clearly, still undefeated. But a win tonight puts them back tied for first. And then picture this, Joe. Let's say Macon County ends up winning this game. They're 3-1 in the region.
Okay.
Upperman, potentially 3-1 in the region. DeKalb County, one loss in the region. Stowe Memorial would have their first loss in the region. We have the same kind of situation like we just discussed with Ravenwood and Independence and Centennial and Brentwood.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that goes on there. You know, my mind's shattered because I thought MBA and Innsworth were in the same region, but they moved them around. They're not in the same region anymore. But I don't think MBA Innsworth, because it's not a region game, doesn't lessen the impact of how huge this game is for both schools.
Oh, absolutely. It's a fun measuring stick game, right? Like, even though there's no region implications, there's a lot of pride on the line. You're sharing a city, man. Like, you know, these kids that are playing each other know each other. They know each other from playing ball in the past. They interact with each other. And, of course, in 2022 with social media, everyone's more connected than they've ever been.
Right.
There's a lot of pride on the line tonight. And we already have a first score in that. Our newest Game Blitz reporter, Teron Davenport, you might have heard of him, at the game right now, just texted me and said that the Innsworth quarterback just checked into a new play and scooted 60-plus yards for a TD on the opening drive. So Innsworth striking first in that game against MBA. That's going to be a thriller, because if Innsworth's going to score like that, you already know that MBA and an offense led by Marcel Reed is going to keep up. That's going to be a ton of fun. That's an adrenaline rush inside a football game, Jody.
Hey, can you text Ron back and tell him that two things? A, we can't pay him for his reports, and two, he's now officially a Game Blitz reporter.
Oh, yeah. If he needs credentials, he knows who to go through. He can go through us. I can possibly give him a hookup, but
well,
the budget's not big enough to support Teron Davenport. But he's doing this with the kindness of his heart here, catching some high school football tonight. He was excited about this game. He texted me like 4 hours ago, Joe, telling me he was going to this game. He is pumped. He knows what's on the line here.
He knows the best show in Middle Tennessee is. It's right here. We're not to put on any pretense for that, man. Another game tonight, which is – it doesn't mean a whole lot standings-wise and all that, but for Middle Tennessee, and I don't put you on the spot here, but Trousdale County at Gordonsville is always a massively huge game. Again, they're not in the same regions and all that stuff, but there's a lot of pride. Elijah, you're from that side of Middle Tennessee, kind of east of Lebanon and up to Cookeville, up that way. There's a lot of pride in these games on Friday night.
Oh, there is. Yeah. And I know Trousdale County's down. They're winless so far this year. Gordonsville's having a really solid season. But when both of these teams were in 1A once upon a time, this was a knockdown, dragout game every year. And Trousdale County is rich in tradition. And that's for people that don't know or that might not have spent a ton of time here in the mid-state or even have an affiliation with a lot of the smaller towns outside of Davidson County. Trousdale County, that was where Kevin Creasy was, now the coach at Oakland, before going to Oakland, and he won many a state title there. I can't remember the exact number right now of how many they ended up winning, but they're a powerhouse. And while Gordonsville is yet to win a state title, they're always in the thick of things. I mean, rarely in my life do I remember a Gordonsville high school football team not be in contention in 1A. It's just one of those things they always have. For a 1A school, they have a really solid facility. They've always had really good coaching, really good players. And with a lot of these smaller schools too, Joe, it's hard to be able to, I guess, establish a model of consistency, because when you're in 1A, we're talking about schools that have enrollments of maybe 300 or less.
That's true.
It's hard. There's a lot of roster turnover, and then the rosters you do have, if there's not a lot of turnover, there's not just many players. A lot of players playing both sides of the ball. You don't have the luxury of being able to dip into backups. So the fact that Trousdale County and Gordonsville have been really good over decades has always just been a testament as to how football crazy these towns are. And even though Trousdale County is not what they are this year, Joe, tonight's a fun game between them and Gordonsville, just because these communities are just so into it.
I love it. And I this is not a question, it's a statement. Elijah, I pray that the portal never hits high school football. I pray the portal never hits high school football. All right, we're going to take a break real quick on the other side. Joined by another great guy, great coach, Coach Eddie Woods at Cane Ridge. He's got his team off and running. We'll love talking to the coach. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. A few update scores before we bring on Coach Woods. Greenbrier pick six to start the game. They lead 7-0 over Creekwood. Innsworth over NBA 7-0. Innsworth over NBA 7-0. And Macon County over some Memorial 7-0. And Waverly over White House Heritage 8-0. Let's bring in the coach now, who is the gold standard for coaches and programs in Metro, Coach Eddie Woods at Cane Ridge. Big win last night. Coach, how are you? And thank you for joining us.
I am well. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Always. I'm just a big fan of you and what you're doing over there at Cane Ridge. Last night, tough game against another one of my favorite coaches in Arsente Broome. What a battle. Those games, I know if you win, they're fantastic, but you love to see your team battle like that, don't you?
Yeah, we've been doing it all year long. You know, it has not been pretty for a few games, and I think starting the season off, we battled with Curacao about the same way. You know, those kids, they kind of go to another level, because those kids know each other, and they really battled last night. Now, defense was able to get it going, and you know, that happens sometimes where they have to bail you out, and they did last night.
You know, Coach, every team, I'm not saying you're Alabama, but I'm saying every team you play is going to give you the best shot, because you are the top team in Metro. And I guess you're prepared for that. I guess the guys are ready for that, because these teams come out and they want a piece of you from the get-go, I would guess.
Oh yeah, man. I wish our kids would understand that more. We got to start fast, and some of the time we start slow. You know, they're high. You know, those teams come in high, and we have to match energy, at least try to go over that. So hopefully our kids understand that better. But you know, they're resilient, and when we need plays to be made, when we need guys to step up, they do. And I don't know. It's close. You know, people go prayer calling, and East probably saying, you know, they're probably the best team in Metro as well. But you know, we get a lot of teams' best shot. I would say those three programs in Metro.
Talking to Coach Eddie Woods right now from the Cane Ridge Ravens, and a big win last night against John Overton, 21-12. But before that, Coach, the win at Smyrna is probably one of the most impressive wins any team's had in the state so far this season. A 21-point win against a previously unbeaten team at their home stadium. What was clicking for your team in that game, Coach? And kind of what was the message before taking the field about taking on a team like Smyrna that not only hasn't suffered a loss all season, but in the region? And it's a game you had to win Region 6.
They're going to be a tough out for somebody, man. They are physical as all get out. You know, we've been in playoff mode since we played CPA. You know, with CPA, they give you physicality, they give you a lot of sound, great fundamentals, great coaching. And Smyrna is going to be sound and fundamental, but they're going to be physical. And we knew Overton would be more physical this year with the backs they have. So, you know, we've been in playoff mode, man, for the last 3 weeks. And they really challenged us, all three of those teams. We've been three physical weeks for us, so hopefully we can kind of hit them for the playoffs.
And, Coach, who are some of the players, too, in the last 2 weeks that really have been the most pivotal point of your season, having to go at Smyrna and then play John Overton last night to get two teams that coming into the games were undefeated in the region? Who are some of the players that really stood out in those games that people need to get on their radar?
Man, Jalen Johnson, man, he's been playing pretty much everywhere, but especially on the defense side of the ball. I think he had three sacks last night. He got out to Ryder Hagan a lot. And we needed him, too, because Ryder is a pretty good passer, along with the running backs they have, along with Tyson Edwards kid as well. So he really got after it. Reggie is always consistent, man. Most of the third is always consistent. Didn't have a lot on offense because it was hard for us to get in sync and to get the passing game going as we like to. We ran the ball well. But on the defense, he was just a force, man. He was out there being very physical. Just the same guys, you know, but it's a collective unit. You know, the defense, they play well together. When they're clicking on all cylinders, we have two sophomores starting on defense. They have a few bonehead plays every now and then, but it's gotten better and better every week. So those guys are making less and less mistakes. Isaac Buns and Kadarian Fletcher, those guys both came with picks yesterday. Actually, Fletcher had a pick six yesterday. So that's going to be a confidence going to the playoffs, and hopefully we can clean those mistakes up.
What are you most proud of, Coach? I know you got the open week next week and two more games to finish out the season. But overall, I know wins are great, but what are you most proud of about your football team currently?
This growth, man. You know, when I said playoff mode, those guys, they came to the table and said, hey, let's get it. And I told them since the offseason, we got to establish a run, and we also have to stop the run. And that's been that's pretty much been our mantra for the offseason. So we hit the weight room hard, and they've really matured in that. Buying into technique more, buying into more the simple things, special teams has been a big focal point for us, and they've been buying into those things. So, and I told them those are the things they need to make a deep playoff run. So those guys are really buying into that, but they're actually maturing, man. That's a good thing to see. And we're resilient. When we need to make stops, we make them. When we need to run the ball and we need to play four-minute offense, we can do that as well. That's what you're going to need in the playoffs because you're going to have tough outs every week.
And Coach, last one for me here. You got a open week this week, and then you have your last region game against Dixon County. And while Dixon County struggled at times this year, they got their first win of the season last week. What's going to be the message to you to your team with a week off and having to play one more region game against a team that's kind of at the bottom of the standings? What's the message like to your team to try to convey the message that you can't overlook anybody in this region, especially with one last game?
Well, you said it first. You know, we're going to get everybody's best shot. They're going to come in and gonna play well. They have a pretty good coach there. I remember that Montgomery Sensky did a great job there. So he's building something there. He's going to constantly build confidence with his kids. And like you said earlier, once again, we're going to get everyone's best shot. We have to go in. We have to play Cambridge ball. We have to constantly correct the things that we need to correct going down and getting to the postseason, you know, be more fundamental sound, be more sound on special teams, continue to be physical, but make sure that we're cleaning up a lot of mistakes. So it's pretty much more about what we have to take care of us first. And we have to pretty much go in with the mindset that we have to play better and better every week. And this is a new opportunity to do that next week.
Coach, before we let you go, your reaction, you played CPA, you beat them 31-28. Your reaction to CPA knocking off Oakland last night?
It didn't surprise me, man. Like, you know, when you got a program like CPA and you have a coach like Inga Martin, you know, those guys know how to get it done, man. You know, we'll go through rough patches, and next thing you know, they play at Oakland, which is a great program, and Coach Priest, I scrimmage him every year. I'm really good friends with him. And, you know, when those games happen, man, against two good programs, I mean, you can throw schedules. You can throw the records out. You got two good programs, two good coaches, and you know, CPA had lost 2-1 to us at the end, and they lost another one to FRA at the end off a trick play. And you know what? Those guys came in, and they were hungry. And, you know, they played, and it's hard. That's a hostile place to play in, by the way. It's a great environment. And, you know, they was able to come out with that W. But I'm telling you, man, it's not surprising me at all.
Well, I love getting your perspective on that, Coach, because it shocked a lot of people around. But hearing from you, maybe we should not have been shocked by that. Coach, thank you. Enjoy your weekend, the time off, and we'll talk to you down the road, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you guys for having me, man.
That's Coach Eddie Woods, head ball coach at Cane Ridge, doing a great job. And Elijah, surprised or not surprised, Coach, talking about – see, I don't think we were surprised. I think we were surprised, Elijah, that CPA beat Oakland – the way they did, because you said it was 35-7 in the fourth.
It was. I saw a video that Joe Spears from the DNJ tweeted out where I think Oakland was like a 7 or 8 yard touchdown run to cut the deficit to 35-14. They had to get an onside kick to get the ball back. And it was like, oh, well, maybe they might be able to get something done here. But man, Joe, I think the biggest thing is now Oakland at times has been able to surrender some points, right? Like Madison Ridgeland was able to put up 30 plus on them and was able to run the ball really effectively. But what they did to Blackman's offense last week, holding them to 18 points and then turning around and CPA putting up 35 on them while also holding that probably the most well-run wing T offense in the state to 14 points, seven for most of the game for like 3.5 quarters, held them to 7. I think that's what's so surreal about this. If you told me that CPA was going to win the game, I still would have a hard time believing you, but I would think back, you know, Maryville had a shocking loss. They had a 22-year streak of not losing a region game snapped just last Friday night against Cleveland. We've seen a lot of these almost unthinkable streaks get snapped. So maybe it wouldn't be far like stretch to say that CPA would have beaten Oakland. But if you'd have told me they're up 35-7 well into the final quarter of the game, I would never have believed you if I didn't see video evidence for myself.
No doubt. Quick update for you right now. Macon County has now scored again against Stowe Memorial. They're up 14-0. Summit has taken lead over Independence 7-3. Boy, that'd be a great win for Coach Brian Coleman down there if they can knock off Independence. And Ravenwood's over Centennial 7-0. I'd get your reaction about some of these early scores, but I guess the one so far is the one we got earlier, Innsworth up 7-0 all over NBA. But as we well know, those scores, when you got guys like Marcel Reed and great players on these teams, these scores can change in an absolute second.
Oh, you want to talk about Marcel Reed and a play? I just now got an update as you were talking about that game, Joe. Marcel Reed just, quote, cut up Innsworth for an 18-yard touchdown or for 18-yard run, not touchdown run, 18-yard run.
Okay, so he didn't score.
He did not score, but he just
– give it 2 minutes, and then we'll
– Yeah, give it a couple of minutes. Teron and I have been texting about Marcel because this is his first time watching Marcel Reed, and I said, just enjoy. Sit back and relax because the kid can play. One of the best throwers on the move I've ever seen as an 18-year-old. I mean, he's a special talent, and immediately text back 18-yard run, you know, gashing a defense. He's awesome.
Oh, man, Ole Miss. And, you know, Ole Miss comes to town tomorrow to play Vanderbilt. So, he probably, you know, I wonder if Lane Kiffin made the trip over to Innsworth to watch his prize project on the field tonight. So, tweet us some Lane Kiffin pictures. Yeah. Did he score? Probably, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, he said it. What the run wasn't a touchdown, but they scored later that drive. So we are knotted up at 7, and Innsworth in NBA.
Look at you, man. All right, we'll take a break at 7:30. We'll give you the scores at the top and bottom of each hour. We're here till midnight. Elijah Campbell, myself, Big Kenny behind the glass. We got a lot of fun. This is a show for you guys, high school football, 6 hours dedicated to high school football coverage. And for that to happen in NFL cities, almost unheard of. So thank you to everybody here at 102.5 The Game. All right, we'll take a break. We'll give you the full scoreboard rundown next. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3. The Game brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. I'm watching the Paige Dolenzel game on my TV 30. Our man Junie's out there, but there's no score. But I'll tell you what I love. The place is absolutely packed. I love seeing high school football stadiums. And I love seeing students. I love seeing the whole experience for these kids in high school. I love it, love it, love it. So right now there's no score in that game. All right, so it's time to hit the scoreboard. We got last night's games, an update on tonight's games for you. Kenny! All right, these are games played last night in Middle Tennessee. Cane Ridge, 21, Overton, 12. Clarksville, 30, West Creek, 14. Clarksville, Northeast, 62, Father Ryan, 55. CPA, 35, Oakland, 14. East Nashville, 43, Maplewood, 8. FRA, 55, Stratford, 18. Hillwood, 50. Glencliff 9, Lebanon 27, Mount Juliet 6, McGavick 48, Antioch 20, Nashville Christian 49, Clarksville Northwest 19, Pearl Cone 35, Marshall County 23, Rossview 22, Kenwood 14, Stewart County 41, Houston County 24, and Tullahoma 31, Montgomery Central nothing. The game's in progress tonight. Springfield over Beach 3-0. Ravenwood now up on Centennial 14-0. Greenbrier, man, starting the game over the pick six. They lead Creekwood 7-0. Hinsworth and NBA tied at 7. Giles County just scored. They're up on top of Columbia 14-7. Watertown with a field goal over Harpeth 3-0. Summit still leads Independence 7-3. Macon County leads Stowe Memorial 14-7. Waverly over White House Heritage 15-6. At Paducah Tillman 6, Henry County 3. That's your scoreboard update. Again, a lot of schools are on fall break. They're not playing, obviously, so that's why the schedule is a little bit limited to tonight, though. Let's bring back Elijah Campbell on the show tonight. Elijah, this Waverly football team, I know we saw them on TV a few weeks ago, sneaky good. And, you know, and God bless these kids, because what they went through last year in the flood and losing all their equipment and their practice field, under just everything. But the resilience this team and the coach and the community have for Waverly, it's really hard not to root for these guys to win each week.
Oh, it really is. It's a remarkable story. And for those who aren't familiar, or may who might not have been here when that flood happened, I mean, it devastated the entire community. And they got to, and I'm glad, like, one of my favorite sports things that happened last year was the Titans letting them use their game. I think it was against White House to play a game at Nissan Stadium. Yeah. For those kids to get to experience that, which is already really cool in itself, to be able to play in an NFL stadium, especially after a natural disaster, it is remarkable for those kids. But then what they've been able to do this season, they had a really good season last year, but they've made some statement wins. They had the statement win against White House on TV, a revenge game from the Nissan Stadium game last season.
Right.
And they're 3-0 in that region, Joe. And the only team ahead of them is our pal Chris Hughes in Fairview. Right. They're at 4-0 right now. I think those teams played the last game of the year, if I'm not mistaken. That
Correct.
Is a Week 11 matchup. That one's probably going to be for all the marbles, because if you look at the standings, after Fairview and Waverly, you have Sycamore at 2-2 in the region, White House at 2-2 in the region, Cheatham County at 1-2 in the region, and then a pair of 0-3 region teams at the bottom. They have some cushion. It's a collision course for it to be not just a de facto region championship game, but a legit Region 6 3A championship game to end the season. Fairview and Waverly, I know it's a little while ahead, but a Week 11 Game Blitz Game of the Week candidate is certainly that one right there, because I don't see any other teams in this region beating either Fairview or Waverly, to be honest.
I totally agree with you. All right, let's go to the Game Blitz phone lines, bringing our man Junie Riddles covering the Page Nolensville game tonight. Junie, how it goes, buddy?
Guys, this might be one of the most electric games I've been to all year long. When I tell you there is a crowd out at the end of the end zone, it's not just people lined up at the gate. It is an entire crowd, because there is nowhere to sit. I'm lucky I got here an hour and a half early. I'm sitting in the away stands, because the home stands were already packed for this game. On the field, though, still a 0-0 game right now, just into the first quarter. We're at a TV timeout, because it seems like every media outlet here in Middle Tennessee is here covering this game because of how huge it is. Both teams fighting to stay in that undefeated Elijah Campbell club this week. But, I mean, the story of this game has really been the defensive fronts of both teams. Nose tackle Stafford Bussey and D.N. Taylor Wine for Nolensville have really dominated the front. And then on the other end, there's this sophomore, this kid Eric Hazard. He's an edge rusher, outside linebacker. Oh, like I said, only a sophomore. This kid has been lighting it up in the run game, setting that edge, putting pressure on the quarterback every time he drops back to pass. It's been a 0-0 game so far, but it has been a very highlighted field game with a ton of people. This might be the most packed house I have seen all season long.
I love it. And by the way, only one media outlet that we care about is you, right? That's all we care about.
Oh, I know. Listen, I'm the Adam Schefter of Middle Tennessee around here. This is what the people don't understand. But, hey, listen, I'm out here in the stands with the people. It's a crisp October night. Page is setting up Again, they are at the 30-yard line of the Nolensville Knights right now, looking to see what they're going to do here in the second quarter. Hopefully, we can get some points up on the board.
Hey, before I turn over to Elijah, I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of high school uniforms, and the Page Patriots, that helmet is just popping on TV tonight, by the way.
Well, it's popping, and I want to highlight something else that's popping, too, for Page. Listen, they're wearing some orange. This isn't normal colors for the Page Patriots tonight, Joe. They are honoring one of the former players on this team, Jake Wilson, who unfortunately passed away last season due to cancer. And they've been wearing orange tonight to support and raise money for childhood cancer research. It's been a beautiful thing. They had a moment of silence in the beginning of the game, and both sides recognized this young man. It was a really beautiful moment out here.
Wow. Yeah, it certainly sounds like, and it's almost hard to follow that up with anything football related because it's obviously much bigger than football. But Junior, I've been able to keep tabs with this game a little bit as well. And you mentioned how well both of these defenses are playing, but special teams might be more important in this game than it has for either of these teams all season long, because that might be the only way there's going to be a good establishing of good field position. That's kind of what it's played out with in this first quarter.
Yeah, well, so far, the punt returner for the Page Patriots, McLean Copeland, has had two really big returners setting up the Patriots with good field position. As of right now, it appears that they are slowly getting into the red zone right now. They drop back the pass, a good pass over the middle, and we're going to have a touchdown right here. Hold on. Let me get my roster sheet out for the Patriots.
Yes, live TD.
Boyd Smith, wide receiver. He was in the slot, caught a quick slant with a high safety, no slot corner over top, and it was an easy, easy touchdown for quarterback Colin Hurd to take a 6-0 lead prior to the extra point here out at Nolensville High School.
Hey, what's it been? I mean, you talk about electric. Now in the second quarter, that's the first score. These defenses must be popping tonight.
I'm sorry, Joe. I can barely hear you. Can you say that one more time?
I said I think you're the best sports reporter in all of Middle Tennessee.
I appreciate you, Joe. I'm going to give you all a call back
all right.
Right after halftime, okay?
You got it, buddy.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, y'all.
You said it, Elijah. The live TV, the live TD on the radio when it happens is a beautiful thing.
It's magic. It's a magical moment. Like, Junie becomes a de facto play-by-play reporter there, and of course, you know, we're watching it after it happens, right? Because the TV's got the delay.
Yeah.
So Junie's telling us this as it's happening, and I just watched the play, and it's accurate. I mean, that was a really good call. Nice pass in the slot across the middle in the red zone, maybe 8-9 yards out. Like, Junie's pretty good at this. He got this down to an artwork.
He is good like that. We got Giles County now has just scored again on Columbia. They're up 21-13 that game midway through the second quarter. What's happened on? So a lot of scores. I think a lot of people, Elijah, a lot of teams have hit that point in the season. Like, you know what? We're just a little bit tired because there's a lot of low scores tonight and no scores that are happening.
I mean, we talked about Page and Nolensville. Page was kind of in the same way, kind of the same, similar role last week. I mean, Columbia got up 13-7 on them, and it was 13-7 for a little bit. But then that separates what Page is from what other teams are in that classification is they hit that gear. When the other teams get tired, the game hits a lull, they hit a gear. And from going down 13-7 to winning 41-13, it shows exactly how good of a team Page is and exactly what kind of gear they can move into, almost like a light switch. So
I agree.
Right. At this point of the season, it's a war of attrition. And teams like Page and Nolensville are the ones who've been able to get to 7-0 because they can go through all four quarters and take every best shot you have.
All right, we'll take a break. Other side, another team, Elijah, that's having a sneaky good season, and that is Franklin Road Academy. Their head coach, Justin Geisinger, will join us next right here on the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz. We got 4 more hours and 15 minutes of high school football coverage, the best high school football coverage anywhere around. One of the true pleasures of doing this show is talking to coaches who are having great seasons and so proud of their players. And we're honored to have the head football coach at FRA right on with us right now, head coach Justin Geisinger, whose FRA team's at 7-1 overall, 2-1 in the conference or in the region. Coach, thank you for doing this on a Friday night. We appreciate you. How are you?
Absolutely. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell me about your team, because I got to tell you, 7-1, and I don't, you know, sneaky good is a sign of respect when I tell of a football team, but your team is sneaky good. I mean, I see some of these wins you got over there, a lot of one-possession wins. There's a lot of pride in this program that you've established. Tell me how proud you are of your football team right now.
Yeah, I mean, just I've been really pleased with the resilience of our kids, and you know, being the first year of our staff, really building a program. You know, I don't know if we anticipated results this quickly necessarily, but our kids have really been buying in, you know, to our mission and our process and what we're doing. You know, we're a program, we don't really talk about wins and losses. You know, that's not, obviously, we want results, we want wins and those things, but you know, that comes within the byproduct of working our process day in and day out. And, you know, it just so happens that, you know, our kids have been able to come out on top on some big games this year, and you know, just really excited about what, you know, where we're at, but also, you know, hopefully some sustained success in the future of this program.
I love it. By the way, one of your coaches, Pat Cunningham, texts me about 1,000 times on every Friday night that you win, so I know quite a bit about your program. He texted me last week about the win over CPA. What a huge – I know you won last over Stratford. I get that. But the CPA win, they beat Oakland last night. Tell me about that win and what it meant for your program, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously a lot of respect for Engel Martin. I've known him, you know, for quite a while, a national coaching circle, and, you know, what he's done with that program. And, you know, just obviously that community in general and the pride they have, not just for the, you know, football program, but just within their community. So to go over there in their place on a homecoming game and to, you know, be able to stay within a, you know, bounce back from a two-score deficit early in the game. Our kids had multiple, you know, chances throughout that game to kind of fold. But then the resolve was awesome to see them continue to bounce back and watch them, you know, continue to come back and throw in a turnover in the second half of being able to bounce back from that. And really, it was one of those games that just seems like the end, and whoever was going to have the ball last was going to come away with it. And then defensively, we came away with a big turnover to stop them there at the end to seal it. So, you know, it was exciting. It was exciting for our community, our entire, you know, school community. It was big for them. You know, in general, this isn't just about our kids and our football team. This is about entire, you know, school community of excellence. That's a pretty unique place, you know, and I'm just fortunate to be a part of it, be a small part of it, and have my family there. It's pretty special.
Coach Justin Geisinger is on the line with us right now from FRA, his team with a big win over Stratford last night. And Coach, one part of that win last night against Stratford, you put up 55 points. Ever since the first game against Nashville Christian to start the season where you scored 29, you haven't scored less than 35 the entire season. How's your offense just been able to kind of turn on, or with the exception of the loss to Lipscomb Academy, but how's your offense been able to kind of hit that switch and be able to score the rate you guys have been able to in a lot of these wins?
You know, I think it's a credit to a number of things. I mean, we've got some good players and some good kids. I think it's, again, their total buy-in to a culture, first and foremost. You know, X's and O's wise, offensively, we feel like we have good schemes and good staff on both sides of the ball. They're able to, you know, provide a good roadmap for our kids to execute, but the kids are the ones that are having to buy into our culture and our system, and the ones that are out there on Friday nights, you know, making the plays. So, you know, there's a number of components to our offense. Obviously, Ty Clark is a junior running back for us, is having a really breakout year, doing some really good things for us there. Logan Kennard is a first-year starter at quarterback as a junior for us that really had a kind of a breakthrough game against CPA last week. And you know, up front offensively, you know, a lot of credit to our offensive line. I think they're playing really at a high level right now. And, you know, it's a lot of kids up there that maybe they're not the biggest, fastest, strongest players in our league across the board, but They're playing for each other. They're playing, like I said, within our culture for each other. And you know, our mission of our program is to live and compete like Christ. We want our kids to be the best versions of themselves, and that's everything they're doing. You know, so we spend as much time as you know we do on the field, off the field, within our cultural development program. We feel like that kind of gives us an edge, maybe over some other programs that don't do it quite the same way we do. You know, because we understand the type of athletes, the type of players that are in Division II football, and we look to find maybe doing things a little bit differently that might give us a little bit of an edge, you know, come Friday nights and then come beyond the field as well. So we believe it as a staff. Our kids are buying into it. Obviously, that's what has to happen first and foremost, so that's exciting to see. And obviously, you know, they've been able to make some plays to put us ahead in some of these games and put us in the position we're in right now.
And Coach, I love how you mentioned the cultural development as a part of, you know, building the offense. And of course it goes to part of building the defense too. Last season, I think only 4 wins total for the entire season, but this year your team has really turned it around and you're sitting at 7-1 right now, 2-1 in the region. But how does that cultural development for even a group of high schoolers in high school football, how does that translate to being able to just win games on the field, especially against the competition that you guys kind of have to face week in and week out?
Sure. I mean, I think obviously as a football coach, I mean, within all sports, I think it does this, but you know, for me, I'm probably a little bit biased that you know, the game of football parallels life in a lot of ways. So, you know, we want to create our kids into being quality young men first, quality football players second. I don't think those things are separate. I think they go hand in hand. You know, so developing these guys into good Christian young men is ultimately our highest aim. That's our goal first. And that's why I say it's obvious. I mean, anyone who plays football, anyone who coaches or plays is going to want to win. Or they're probably not playing the game. Or they're probably, you know, they're probably not much of a competitor. So what gives us that advantage is really focusing on the whole person, focusing on you know, building these kids and building them as young men first, because we don't feel like they're going to be the best football players they can be if they're not the former of that first, and that's becoming great Christian young men. So we spend a lot of time in small group discussion, you know, on a number of different things within our program. We have different, you know, themes that we've done year to year. And, you know, being my first year in this program, I'm really excited about bringing some of the things that I've done, you know, with my former team in the past to this community. And it's really taken off with these kids. I think these kids are just scratching the surface on what it can be. So that's the exciting part. And seeing them buy in and seeing them now obviously see results from that helps validate it quite a bit as well. So, but that's exciting, you know, because at the end of the day, most of these kids, you know, aren't going to play this game, you know, beyond high school. You know, you're going to have some kids that go on and play a 4 or 5 year college career. And maybe every now and then you'll get a kid to play some pro ball, but we all know that the statistics on that. So ultimately, most of these kids are going to be, you know, touched by, as far as the relationships within the coaches and their players are going to end at the high school level. So we really, really try to take that to heart and make sure that's put first and foremost.
We're talking head football coach Justin Geisinger, Franklin World Academy. You had a great point, Coach, about guys going to the next level. I mean, you instill this pride and character in them. They go off to college. They go to law school like a Washington and Lee and become great leaders. And it all starts in high school. And that's why I love coaches like you who understand that it's about the now. It's not about the Sunday 10 years from now. It's about building that pride and character, and that's so important. And I've heard nothing but great things about you from other coaches and players about how you instill that pride and character, and it's so important. And I think it's so just magical today to have this inside these kids.
Yeah, no question. You know, and I mentioned, so we have, you know, a lot within our cultural program that I already mentioned. You know, starting with our mission and then within our process. Our process is win the one. And, you know, when somebody thinks win the one, you know, in today's society, I think a lot of people think, oh, we'll win the one championship, we're going to win the one scholarship, we're going to win the stat line, win the headlines of the papers the next morning. All those things are great, and we want our kids to aspire and reach those things, because those things are obviously the perishable crowns, we say, that they want to achieve and are things that ultimately are good things to have. We're talking about, when we say win the one, we're talking more, like you said, in the moment, winning the one conversation, winning the one class that they're in, winning the one, the relationships at home with their parents, with their families, with their friends, girlfriends, you know, those things. those are ultimately the imperishables that are going to last a lifetime. And ultimately, if you're winning those things and you're winning the day, the winning the moments, winning that one rep, one test, whatever it may be, you're going to be at your best. You're going to be the best version of yourself. And then ultimately, you're going to be the best football player you can be anyway, so you're going to get those things that you want anyway, you know, or at least put yourself in the best position to do that. So we, you know, fully believe in it. It's something we sold out on as far as that's a way we want to build a program and build a culture. And, you know, like I said, it helps when you're 7-1. It helps validate your
calendar.
But ultimately, you know, that's wholeheartedly what I believe in and what our coaches believe in. And we've got a great staff, really fortunate, and an administration that's extremely supportive of what we're doing. So, you know, it's definitely exciting.
Coach, last one for me. You got the open week this week, and then you end the season with BGA and Good Pasture. But what does a bye week under Coach Justin Geisinger look like? And what's a few things that you want your team to kind of work on and fine-tune going into these last two regular season games?
Sure. Well, ultimately, you know, within our culture, we tell our kids, we want to try to peak, you know, come November. We want to be at our highest aim and playing our best football come November. And I think, you know, we're on our way for that. I think our kids are getting better, you know, throughout the course of this season. You know, there's going to be, just like in life, there's going to be dips and valleys, and they're going to hit adversity. And we've dealt with adversity really well, I felt like, as a group this year to this point. You know, so as far as the bye week, you know, playing a Thursday night game last night was nice, and be able to give our kids a much needed Friday night off, which is kind of weird that I'm talking to you here on a Friday night.
Right.
It's a little different. You know, we'll get back to some fundamental practices on Monday and Tuesday next week, and really get back to some basics, and some things we need to work on as we kind of take the home stretch here, and then give them some much deserved time off at the end of next week. And we'll regroup the following Monday and begin getting ready for BGA. So, yeah, two big region opponents here to finish the season, and, you know, it's a very traditionally good program. So, you know, well, our kids are definitely they're riding high right now. They're feeling really good and confident. They're playing some inspired football for us right now. So, that's exciting. You know, we'll regroup, get some kind of nicks and bruises and bumps healed up here, and hopefully be ready to go here in a couple weeks.
Beautiful. Next week, just head on down to Key West for a few days and just forget about life for a while.
That'd be great. Yeah.
All right, good. Hey, Coach, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the Game Blitz. Best of luck during the regular season. We hope to talk to you. Hope you guys go all the way, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Justin Geisinger, head football coach at Franklin Road Academy, 7-1, having a great season. All right, we'll take a break. Top of the hours next, we'll give you all the scores and what's happening around Middle Tennessee and high school football. You're listening to the Game Blitz. This is sponsored by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.